This is Radio Kate here at NASA Ames Research Center in California. We're here for Yuri's Nights 2010, and with me now is Brian Day, and he's just given a talk about the LCROSS mission. I'm going to let him explain what his job is here.
Okay. My job with the LCROSS mission was I was the education and public outreach lead, so I worked with students and citizen scientists, largely amateur astronomers, to actually get them involved in participating in the actual science of the mission.
So you're the perfect person to tell us, what exactly is LCROSS?
LCROSS stands for the Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite. And it was a mission to actually determine whether or not there are deposits of water ice at the poles of the moon. And it did it in a very simple way, is it took the upper stage of our moon rocket and it crashed it into one of these permanently shadowed craters where we believe water ice to have accumulated. And then as this spray of material came out from this titanic impact, keep in mind our impactor, that upper stage of our rocket, 2,000 kilograms moving at 2.5 kilometers per second. Very, very significant impact. Blasting material out of that crater into the lunar sky, into the sunlight, where we could then study it and analyze it. Our little spacecraft flew directly into that cloud of debris, let us know what it was made of, if there was any water, what form it took, and then it crashed into the moon only 4 minutes after the Centaur. So we had 4 minutes to do our science.
And what did you manage to find out in those 4 minutes?
We found out that, in fact, there is a significant amount of water ice in the permanently shadowed craters at the south pole of the moon. Very exciting. This has implications for future missions to the moon. This could be a very valuable resource for people living and working on the moon. And it's also fascinating scientifically, because these permanently shadowed craters have been gathering and storing this ice over billions of years. These are the dusty attics of our solar system, and these can tell us the story of the history of our environment here in the inner solar system. Very important to remember that our environment here on Earth does not end with our atmosphere. We are all residents of the inner solar system, with solar storms, space weather, meteor showers, things that can directly impact us, pun intended. So having a better understanding of this very dynamic environment that we live in here in the inner solar system is very important for us.
So you crashed your spaceship into the moon. You found out there was water there. What about the water itself? Have you been able to bring any of that back or analyze it, or are there plans to do so?
Our mission was not a sample return mission. It was a one-way mission. Our spacecraft is now very permanently broken. But the results from that mission have spurred a lot of interest. And I can tell you that right now, as we are speaking, there are a lot of mission proposals being written to actually go and send landers to the surface of the moon and retrieve samples to bring for us to study.
So I'm guessing it was a pretty expensive piece of equipment that you smashed into the moon. Who was in charge of pressing the button to let it go? And were you there in the control room when it happened?
So the mission management was right here at NASA Ames Research Center. Though we had a very diverse team, we had members working our navigation from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. We had team members at Goddard Space Flight Center. We had team members at Marshall Space Flight Center. And one of our main partners was Northrop Grumman down in Southern California. So it was a team effort. But our mission manager, our project manager, was a gentleman named Daniel Andrews here at NASA Ames. And our principal investigator, our chief scientist, Mr. Spock, if you will, was a gentleman named Tony Colapri, also here out of NASA Ames.
Now, I've heard Dr. Chris McKay say that where there is water, there is life, or there is likely to be life or have been life in the past. Do you worry that there could have been life and you've just, well, destroyed it?
An important distinction here. Wherever we find liquid water here on Earth, we find life. Even if that liquid water is beneath a frozen ice cap, in a boiling pool at Yellowstone, even in the cooling systems of nuclear reactors, wherever we find liquid water, we find life. However, on the moon, there is no liquid water. Because of the really extreme environment of the moon, that precludes liquid water from actually occurring. The actual permanently shadowed craters that we visited are the coldest places we have yet measured in the solar system, even colder than the surface of Pluto. This means that chemical activity essentially ceases. So with the intense radiation environment on the moon, with the fact that there is virtually no atmosphere, almost no atmosphere, and the fact that the water ice that we found is in this incredibly frigid environment, this really is not a place where we think life could be or ever could have been.
And alphabetically, M would come after L. Are we likely to see a Martian version of L-Cross?
Well, we don't really need a Martian version of L-Cross because we know that Mars has water, and we've seen it for a long time. Mars, even through a small telescope, people with backyard telescopes can observe the beautiful polar ice caps on Mars. Our spacecraft in orbit around Mars have seen channels apparently carved by ancient rivers. We have seen what appear to be shorelines from ancient seas. Our rovers are sampling the bottoms of ancient seabeds. And we now have excellent evidence that there is a lot of water in the form of permafrost just beneath the surface. And the Phoenix lander actually scooped the surface and apparently revealed it to us. So the question of L-Cross was to determine whether or not there was water on the moon. In the case of Mars, we already know it's there.